Father, we want to come by the blood of Jesus Christ this morning to present ourselves unto you that, as vessels that need to be filled, as vessels that need to be cleansed, as vessels that need your presence residing within. Father, we are very much aware, I hope, concerning the hour that we are living in, the time frame, not just in the aspect of the natural arena, but also in the spiritual sense of the time that you have given us to respond in a manner that would be conducive to produce that which you desire. So, Father, we come this morning with the expectation of hearing your voice, with the expectation of sensing your presence, with the expectation of you revealing yourself unto us. Father, you said in the last days that you would expose the mystery of iniquity, and that you would bring forth and expose the mystery of godliness. And I believe, Lord, that we are living in that hour where we can come individually, collectively, Father, into your presence, and we can be under your jurisdiction, and we can move in accordance to your desire if we so desire to be in that position of submission. So, Father, help us to see the reality of it. Help us to see that which we are in the natural, as far as the place from whence we come, is like building your house on the sand. Father, it is unstable, it is insecure, and at the end of the day, it will be destroyed. So, Father, let us look to you today. And not just today, but the days to come. What happens here, Father, is only significant if it carries over into tomorrow and in the weeks to come. Amen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if we really understand some of the things that we're saying. I thought it was very apropos concerning the song that you were singing when I came in. I happen to know the brother that wrote that song fairly well. And I know that when he wrote the song, I know what his circumstances and situations were. Hallelujah. He was going through a period of time in his life that it seems like, well, he was a young man by the, at the time that it was written. And he was involved in the things of the Lord. He was involved in this mystery. And everything around him was crumbling. Everything around him was being destroyed. His position as far as ministry is concerned, his position as far as family is concerned, all of the things that were seemingly critical, seemingly important, seemingly life to him. All of that was crumbling, all of that was falling, all of that was coming apart. Hallelujah. And at the time, he was working, he was living in the Central Valley of California. There's a little strip there in the middle of California that extends from, say, a little above Sacramento, going down a little bit beyond Fresno, or not quite to the southern valley, the southern part of California. There's a mountain range in between there. Hallelujah. But he was driving from the Central Valley over to the Bay Area for work. He had to drive an hour and a half every morning and drive an hour and a half every day. So he was putting in about 11, 12 hours a day just trying to get to work, get back home, back to his place of residence. And he had to drive through, there was a shortcut that he could take, hallelujah. And he was driving, and the road that went to the place that he was going was called Diablos Canyon. Hallelujah. Or the Devil's Canyon. And it was really kind of prophetic. Hallelujah. And so in these many trips that he was making, back and forth, he was in prayer and crying out to God for deliverance, crying out to God for the salvation of the circumstances that he was in, not to mention his own position or place of seemingly coming to an end of everything. And it was during this time frame that he was driving through this canyon. Hallelujah. And that's where the words came, by the way. It wasn't when after he got out of it, or it wasn't as he was coming into going into it. It was during the time frame he was driving through this canyon. And every time he came through, there was something the Lord would speak to him concerning this song. And he began to write the words down. Hallelujah. And there are going to be situations in our lives that seemingly are bringing an end to everything. Hallelujah. You know, Paul said, and we read it, and I don't know that we really quite comprehend the reality of what he says. You know, when he says, I have count all things as dung. Hallelujah. And it's a phrase that it can be easily spoken. It's a phrase that can easily be repeated, but to experience it. Hallelujah. To experience it, that really is something greater, something more real, something more difficult. Hallelujah. Because you have to have a vision. You have to have a reality. It can't be just a religious concept. Hallelujah. If it's a religious concept, Christianity kind of moves under the auspices of two senses two positions or thoughts, operates under two positions of thoughts. One is the thought that is religious. Hallelujah. Religious / responsibility. Hallelujah. The other concept is the aspect of obligation. We all know what obligation is, right? Hallelujah. Well, the devil can always come up with something that is stronger than your sense of responsibility, religious responsibility. The devil can always come up with something that is greater than the aspect or the feeling of obligation you have concerning something that you say that you believe. Hallelujah. So there has to be some sort of position of relationship in all of this that we are talking about that is not religious or / responsibility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the devil will come up with something that is greater than your sense of responsibility. And you and I will compromise. Hallelujah. And that's what's wrong with the gospel today, by the way. Hallelujah. The church started compromising a long time ago. The spirit of compromise, hallelujah, is not a principle of virtue, by the way. In Jesus, in the Elohim, in the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, there is absolutely no compromise, hallelujah. Everything is absolute, hallelujah. There is no compromise. The Holy Spirit doesn't see shades of gray. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit sees it as right or wrong. And I don't care how you mix it together. Hallelujah. I don't care how you take black and mix it with white. And the more white that you mix it with, as long as there's black in there, it's a derogatory and negative thing. Hallelujah. Paul said to the congregation that was his, he said, I would that I could present you blameless. Now, look that word blameless up. Hallelujah. We seem to think that because we're human, we cannot be blameless. Because blameless is saying, I am perfect in everything that I am doing. Hallelujah. And we don't really believe that. And we don't believe it for a reason, because it gives us an excuse not to be perfect. Hallelujah. And on top of that, we can justify that imperfection scripturally, if we're really knowing the Word of God. We can justify that position scripturally. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that Jesus, or the Elohim, the Elohim is the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be tomorrow. Hallelujah. That means in him, there is no shadow of turning. There's no shadow. By the way, when the Bible talks about shadow, it's darkness, by the way. You know that, right? Hallelujah. Shadow is always referencing darkness. Hallelujah. And in him, there is no shadow of turning. Hallelujah. That means he is totally, absolutely perfect. Hallelujah. And he is looking for that perfection within you and I, as individuals who say we believe in perfection. Hallelujah. But the church, from the very beginning, has always been susceptible to the spirit of compromise. Hallelujah. Now, in Nigeria, there's a lot of compromisation, isn't there? Hallelujah. You want to do something and you get into negotiating process, right? Now, you tell me if I'm wrong, but I've been coming here a long time. Hallelujah. You get into a situation and you want something done, and somebody else wants to get something from what it is you want to get done. Hallelujah. So you have to, in some way or another, negotiate in terms in order to achieve your objective. Hello? Hallelujah. And be that as it may, hallelujah, sometimes, if not most of the time, we submit to the process of that negotiation. As long as we feel in some way or another that we are not somehow or another compromising our position of righteousness. But oftentimes our position of righteousness is not being assessed from the vertical position, it's being assessed from the horizontal position. Hallelujah. And a lot of times we compromise in whatever degree that we compromise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can in some way feel like it's not unrighteous. Hallelujah. And we compromise. Number one, we either do not have the word of the Lord, or we do not believe the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so each and every one of us, hallelujah, have to have a word from the Lord that is in line with the goal or the objective that is set before us. Hallelujah. So that we can believe the reality of his presence, and he will do it if I am willing not to compromise. Hallelujah. But sometimes our wanting of the thing is greater than our not wanting to compromise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know I'm hearing in the spirit that living in this environment, it is impossible not to compromise. That's what I'm hearing. In this environment in which you live, which is an environment of compromisation, it's impossible not to compromise in some way or another. Hallelujah. Jesus did not compromise. Jesus did not compromise. Did he compromise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. There was nothing that he did, hallelujah, that would indicate or justify any type of compromising. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have this message, and I'm going to draw in the vertical, not the vertical, but the horizontal today. Hallelujah. We have this thing we call the tabernacle. Now, I want to say something about the tabernacle. The tabernacle, hallelujah, is a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word that is in picture form. Hallelujah. And I found out another reason why God did what he did with regards to the tabernacle. Hello? Hallelujah. We go to many places and we're involved with many different people in Africa, and most of those are illiterate people. They cannot read. Hallelujah. And one day I was trying to figure out just how can we advance the kingdom of gospel to a people who cannot read. Hallelujah. And one thing you can do is to teach them to read, which we are trying to do. Praise the Lord. But the other thing is that you can begin to show them a picture and begin to explain to them the significance of that picture and look at it from a biblical point of view. Hello. Hallelujah. My mother used to tell me a picture is worth 1,000 words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I found out that is really true. Hallelujah. Because we can begin to demonstrate the reality of what is written by what is given in the picture we call the tabernacle. Now, there is a philosophy or a doctrine or whatever you want to call it that is finding ground in the Holy Place Church. Now, when I talk about the Holy Place Church, I'm talking about this church right here that has the message, message of sonship. Hallelujah. The message of sonship. Praise God. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 1, all the way to the end. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Says that we are not only heirs of God, but we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means that position of authority is being opened unto the few who desire to have it. Hallelujah. What do you want? As far as the message is concerned, do you just want a place of safety and security? You want to escape the tribulation? Do you just want to get into heaven? What do you want? Hallelujah. Well, I want whatever it is the Father wants to give me. Hallelujah. And what I know the Father wants to give you and what he wants to give me is that position of relationship that only his son Jesus, or Yeshua, our Jehovah Yeshua, has. And I want to be a part of that company of believers. And when you talk about the 144,000, when you talk about the First Fruits Company, you are talking about that position. You're talking about that place of relationship. Not just the son, but you are considered to be a part of the firstborn company. Hallelujah. And you're going to be in a position to share in some way or some measure. It doesn't remove him, the Lord, from that position of exaltation. Without him, we could not exist. Without him, we could not do what it is that God has given us to do. But by virtue of what he did, we have a position or a place or a part to play that we can be assimilated into it. Hallelujah. And stand, as it were, in his shoes. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know. It was really this type of message that stirred my soul. Hallelujah. I was born again in a Baptist environment, and it was a real experience, by the way. I was 8 years old, and my mom was always the forerunner. I pray for you mothers, because it is by virtue of your desire for your children to accomplish something maybe that you can't seemingly get a hold of. Hallelujah. And my mother was very much spiritually orientated. Hallelujah. And she desired us children to be in this position or in this place that she's seemingly in her mind, God was offering her. Hallelujah. You know, mothers have a very important task of raising children to a position or a place of understanding the reality of this thing that we call Father God. Hallelujah. Our God the Son, or God the Holy Ghost. And my mother was very good at it. Hallelujah. We didn't always agree with her. Probably most of the time we were at confrontation, but that didn't seem to bother her too much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the Jewish culture, the children are under the tutelage of their mother until they come to the age of 12 or 13, somewhere in there. Hallelujah. At which time I think they go through what they call a bar mitzvah, and now they are given over to the father. Now he begins to train and teach them from that point on. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, when my children were small and they were growing up, we were homeschooling them. And I did not leave, now I'm going to you dads, hallelujah. I did not leave all the spiritual training to my wife because, you know, they're busy. They're very busy. They have to go grocery shopping. They have to discipline the children to make sure they're behaving. They have responsibilities maybe in the community or in the fellowship. And on top of that, they're having to discipline the children and deal with it. They're very busy, busy people. Hallelujah. So I had determined that I would do my part as far as the homeschooling is concerned. Now, I was in construction, hallelujah, and I was self-employed, hallelujah, I was a contractor. So that meant I could bring my children with me to work, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And if you're self-employed, you don't have to be a carpenter, you can still do it, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I would bring them from an early age, and even my daughters, hallelujah, I would bring them out to the construction site, and when they were very small, hallelujah, they would go around picking up all of the trash and things and all the pieces of wood. We did wood, so we were cutting it all the time. And they had to take it, and they had to put it somewhere, and they had to make sure that the work area was clean and tidy, hallelujah. No, nothing to stumble over, nothing to fall down on. Just everything had to be in order. Well, it's a discipline. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because people can be very messy. The construction workers in particular, hallelujah, can be, they drink a soda pop, they just throw the can. Hallelujah. They eat a candy bar, they just wad it up and throw it down. Does that sound familiar by any chance? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's an unclean spirit, by the way. It's not a habit. It's not because everybody else does it. It's an unclean spirit. Hallelujah. As a construction worker, I was a fast food eater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I'd drive up Burger King, of course you probably know McDonald's, hallelujah. I'd drive up there, I'd get my food, I'd be eating it on my way back to work, and the trash, I'd just wad it up and throw it down on the passenger side of my car. That was my garbage can. Hallelujah. Well, at least I didn't throw it out the window. Hallelujah. Of course, in the States, I think I did that more because I didn't want the $50 fine if somebody saw me throw it out the window. Hallelujah. They couldn't see what's in my truck. One day, somebody was trying to get in my truck. And he said, "Oh my gosh, this is the trash can." And the words, bing, stuck me. So I went to the Lord, and he says, "It is an unclean spirit." I can guarantee you the next morning, all that trash was in the garbage can.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's a matter of discipline, and I have to discipline myself if I'm going to discipline my children. Hello? Hallelujah. So I'm teaching my children the mechanics of carpentry just by picking up trash, making sure the work area is clean and all of that sort of thing. Hallelujah. And as they progressed, hallelujah, they got more responsible. Hallelujah. I would give them, when they were small, give them little blocks of wood and I'd drive nails into it. And then they had the responsibility of knocking those nails down into the wood. And I'm always telling, now you be careful. If you don't hit the head of the nail and you hit your finger, if you have a hold of it, it's going to hurt you. Well, they had to find that out the hard way. But nevertheless, they learned how to drive nails. Hallelujah. And then when they got through driving nails and they learned that, there was another phase of construction that I would put them into, because we built with wood, right? Hallelujah. Well, in wood, you have what we call a header or a top plate, and we have a bottom plate. And you line those things up, and then you put studs in the middle of them, and then you have to learn how to walk on it and nail it. Hallelujah. And that's really difficult because nothing's nailed down. Everything is unstable. But it teaches them stability and the ability to overcome some aspect of that instability. Because you're sitting there and you're standing on the wall because you want the wood not to slip away or push away from the stud you're nailing it. And you have to, I can't even bend over now, but you want to drive that nail through the top plate into the stud. Hello? And a good carpenter can do it with three hits. Hallelujah. Of course, the nails, they're 16-penny nails. They're about that long. And probably about as, not like a pencil, but smaller. Hallelujah. And they have a coating on them. A coating that is kind of like a glue. But when you hit it and it goes in, the friction causes it to soften or melt. And if you hit it again and hit it again, it solidifies, it liquefies, but when you set it, it's over a period of time, it solidifies, and it makes that nail very difficult to get out. Hallelujah. And you have to do this on the wall. You're walking on the studs and you're walking on the studs. So they're having to learn the aspect of all of these things. And then all of these things have spiritual intent. And I was not slack in giving them the spiritual position or the definition of what it was that they were involved with. Hallelujah. Huh? Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I did not leave the teaching of my children to someone who was not spiritually attuned or who was under the auspices of a different doctrine. Hallelujah. And you send a child to school. He is, especially here, you board him out. Hallelujah. And you probably don't see him, you probably don't see him for weeks, right? Hallelujah. In boarding school, if you got him in school somewhere, hallelujah. And usually it's not really close. It's far away. What is the age that you send him out? Huh?
Between 11 and 12.
Yeah? How about 7 or 8? I met people who were putting their children in boarding school at 7 and 8. It happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
4 years. I wasn't sure about that, but I had some regular. So what do you think is happening to that child? He's in a foreign environment. And the environment he may be in may be Christian in some way or another, but it is not the Christian that you are. In the revelation that you have, now, I'm not saying you were better than them, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. And they're under that teaching, hallelujah. Not only that, but there is the peer pressure horizontally, hello, that is feeding them. That is building a character, solidifying a position of understanding, solidifying a position of belief. And as they get older, you begin to wonder, why are they so rebellious? Why are they giving me so much trouble? Why are they always contending with me? Why are they always arguing with me? Why is it that the older they get, the dumber I am? Hallelujah. And I've had that personal experience, by the way. The older I got, the dumber my mom got. Hallelujah. And somewhere along the line, hallelujah, as I got older and kids of my own, my mother's intelligence grew by great leaps and bounds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are not raising our children as unto the Lord under the auspices of this message. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can say, oh man, oh me, oh my, or poor me. I don't know. Hallelujah. We are not raising our children under the auspices of this message. We are raising them as human beings, and we are allowing them to become as Nigerian, if not more so, than what we are. Hallelujah. Now, this is going to be hard for you to swallow, I suppose. Hallelujah. But I have news for you. There is no Nigerian in heaven. There is no USA citizen in heaven. There is no American in heaven. Now, I have a little easier than the rest of you, because America is such a mixed breed of people. They're a mixture of all nations. Hallelujah. But I don't know if that really makes it easier, because if I got English in me, and if I got German in me, then that means, and then I'm American on top of that, that means I have three different cultures that are in me by virtue of inheritance, and I have to overcome every one of those cultures. Because each of those cultures has a nature, and the nature that is developed is encapsulated or incorporated in this position of my Americanism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't know. I understand the strength of the Nigerian mentality. I understand the strength of the nature. I had that experience or that understanding given to me when there was a man that I prayed for in Owerri many years ago. Hallelujah. Maybe 25 years ago, 30 years ago, maybe 35 years ago. Hallelujah. And the Lord was delivering him, and the picture he showed me was one that took great spiritual power to break the hold of that individual, or the hold that the land had on that individual. And you know, it really makes no difference which tribe you come from. There's one thing you all have in common, and it's the love for the land. Maybe I'm way off there somewhere. Hallelujah. You can fight and kill each other. Hallelujah. But still, the land is something that has this, I wish I had an adequate word, has this monstrous hold upon your soul. It's like your soul is part of the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the land and all that it represents is feeding your soul. Hallelujah. And that has to be broken. If you wish, God bless you, brother. It's good to see you. Amen. I just now recognized you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that has to be broken. It has to be broken. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. And there has to be somebody, somewhere, somehow, that is able to break it loose. Because if there is no one, then you have no hope. Hallelujah. And you have been elected to break it.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Amen.
But you're not doing a very good job. And are we going to say amen to that one too? Oh, I'm called, I'm elected. Amen, amen. But you have to die. It's a basic spiritual principle. It's the very first principle of salvation. Hallelujah. It says we are buried with him. How? Huh? We are buried with him in death. Oh, he died and rose again. I don't have to worry about it. Come on, brethren. You have to experientially come into that position or experience of death to self. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Well, you hear me, but I don't know that you really believe me. Hallelujah. The whole idea. Hallelujah. And I really can't leave this thought or idea until I have some kind of release in my spirit that it's been dealt with as much as I am possibly able to deal with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a position, there is a place. And by the way, there is this thing rising up now in the Holy Place Church, hallelujah, that is saying that this tabernacle thing is archaic. It's no longer valid. It's no longer something that we need to be concerned about. It's something that is history. How can anything that God creates be history? Answer me. How can anything eternal God creates be something that is relegated to some point in time? It's impossible. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is not a gospel that is coming from the outer court church. It is a gospel that is being generated within the Holy Place Church. Everything that is in the Bible is in the tabernacle.
Oh, yeah.
From Genesis to Revelation.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
And everything that is in the tabernacle is in the Bible. If I can't find, you come up with a revelation of the tabernacle and I can't find it in the Bible, I'm not going to believe it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you don't have to just take my word for it. If you take my word for it, you're in trouble. Hallelujah. You have to take what I say, go to the Bible and start digging. When you have a test, what do? How do you study? Do you just casually study? Why? I can't hear you, dear. You want to do a good job. You want to get a good grade, right? Hallelujah. So why is our position of relationship with the Word and with the Father, why is that different? We approach him so casually. You come in here, you might even take your notes. Bless you. You might even take your notes, hallelujah. But do you ever go back to him? Do you ever go back to him? Hallelujah. Somebody comes in here and they begin to prophesy to you. You want a copy of that, right? Hallelujah. Or you want to write it down and see and get the reality of what it says. Hello? And then you write it down, close your notebook up, put it on the shelf, and walk away from it. Hallelujah. Maybe you're different. Huh? Hallelujah. Boy, if somebody prophesies over me, I want to be sure that it's God that is saying something.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Number one, it has to witness to me. Number two, it has to be apropos to my life and my position, where it has been or where it is or where it's going to be. Now, I don't know where it's going to be, but I have to have some verification from the Spirit. Hello? Hallelujah. Dreams is another thing. We take dreams and just go wild. Hallelujah. We don't test them. Hallelujah. We don't come to the Father with the dream and put it on the altar before him. Hallelujah. Especially if it says something derogatory about us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to know what God or the devil is saying about me. Hallelujah. Because not all dreams come from the Father. Dreams comes from the business of the day, comes from your own soul, or it comes from the devil, hallelujah, or it comes from the Father, or from the Holy Spirit. So I have to know where it's coming from. Hello? Hallelujah. Even if it's saying something bad about me. Hello? Somebody gives you a dream, and in the dream you're doing something bad, and you get angry. How can they dream that of me? How can they think that of me? It must be that they have something against me. Hallelujah. No. Whether it's good or bad. Hallelujah. Whether it's devil or the Lord. If it's the devil, then I know that the devil has a certain strategy that he is planning against me. And he's telling me what that strategy is. So all I have to do is do the opposite of what it was that I was doing in the dream. And you know, I may have been doing something that was aggravating the spirit and that devil was going to take advantage of. Now, what if I get offended over that? You know, we open or shut doors in our soul. We open or shut doors. Hallelujah. Irritation, agitation, anger, frustration, futility, depression, All our doors that we shut, that will shut our soul. Hallelujah. But when we shut the door, we're not shutting it to the devil, because the devil's still inside of us. Hallelujah. We haven't got that devil out entirely yet. He's still inside of us. What we're doing is shutting the door to the administration of the Holy Spirit. Hello? Hallelujah. And so we get offended. Hallelujah. Now, I'm sure many of you have certain individuals and friends that you like to talk to. Hello? And some of them are much closer than others. And sometimes we're kind of looking for justification or vindication. So we'll tell that person something about what that other person did. Hello? What have we just done? First of all, we have destroyed the integrity of the person whom gave us the dream. Because you're really not going to say anything positive about them. If it's not just in body language or in innuendos. We're not going to think of them in a sense or in a light that would give us a opportunity to be able to adjust our thinking in an appropriate and proper way. Yes. Hallelujah. One of the major problems between wife and husband is communication. Hallelujah. Wife wants to hear what she wants to hear from the husband, and she doesn't really want to hear anything else. Husband wants to hear from the wife what the husband wants her to think or say, and he doesn't really want to hear anything else. Hello? Come on. Okay, not husband and wife. Just take individuals who want to talk to each other in an open and open way by which of sharing each of their positions of soul. Hello? Hallelujah. Can that happen? It could if both parties are willing not to be offended. Hallelujah. Now, one of the problems we have is that it always seems to move into a contending environment of confrontation. Hallelujah. I'm right, you're wrong. You're right, I'm wrong. Hallelujah. And you won't listen to me. Hallelujah. And then it goes on and it begins to disintegrate, hallelujah, into other issues, and then accusations begin to rise up. Hallelujah. So you've lost the point of reference of why you got in this discussion at all. And it's become something entirely different and very personal and very offensive. Hallelujah. So either one or the other, or maybe both, they're just not going to talk to each other. I'm just not going to talk to you anymore. Zip. Hallelujah. Anybody ever get the silent treatment? Don't raise your hands. Hallelujah. Anybody ever get the silent treatment? Huh? Hallelujah. I'm not talking to him. I'm not talking to her. She don't understand me. He don't understand me. And he always accusing me. She's always accusing me. Hallelujah. The position of relationship, first of all, it's an indication of my position of relationship with the Father is out of sorts, is out of kilter, and I am not opening my soul unto him. Hallelujah. And I go from a spiritual point of view of being dead to self to a secular position of experience of self-preservation. All arguments without reservation. All arguments without reservation are always self-preservation. Next time you get in an argument, just remember that. You know, you can get slapped on the cheek more than a physical blow. Words are very destructive. Hallelujah. And very offensive and very harmful. And it can be just like somebody's hauled off and bang. Hallelujah. Hit you. And our response has to be an appropriate response. Hello. Now, I don't say you cover up sin. I'm not talking about that. Hallelujah. There is righteousness and there is unrighteousness. But if I get into a discussion with somebody, or I get into a confrontation with somebody, or somebody does something that has the potential to offend me, hallelujah, I have to be righteous in my response. And let me give you another thought here. Hallelujah. I don't know that you really expected this message, but that's rolling the stone away, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And by the way, that was really the word of the Lord. Whoever brought it, I want to commend them. They did a good job. If I'm in a situation, and let's say I'm right, or they are right, and I'm wrong. Or I'm right and they're wrong. Hallelujah. My rightness might give me some thought of I have a right to respond in the way that I'm responding, even if it's negative. Now, let me tell you a little spiritual secret. God cannot do anything about that situation. He can't, because you're both wrong. If he did something on your side, being as you're right, in some way or another, hallelujah, hallelujah, and your attitude is wrong, your behavior is wrong, what's going to happen? You are going to feel justified in that position of transgression. Hello? Well, didn't I tell you I was right? Hallelujah. Didn't I tell you? Hallelujah. Didn't I tell you were right? I was right. Didn't I tell you that? Hallelujah. So now you are worse off than you were before. Hello? Hallelujah. If you desire God to do something, that's why God said, pray for those who despicably use or abuse you. Hello? Hallelujah. Because your attitude has to be right. Hallelujah. And somebody comes to you and says, blah, 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 blah. Instead of jumping to your defense, you just need to really very contritely and very humbly say, well, I don't know that that's really true, but I will pray definitely about it. Hallelujah. Are you willing to do that? I don't think so. You have to overcome anger. You have to overcome resentment. You have to overcome the desire to be right. You have to overcome the position or place of vindication. If any of those aspects are working, are motivating you to do what you to submit, so sir, it's still not right. You have to have a compassion in your soul for that individual. Hallelujah. One of the things that really blow my mind in this aspect, and I it's really not humanly possible, by the way. Hallelujah. Jesus was hanging on the cross. Hallelujah. They had brutally mutilated him, beat him till he was unrecognizable. He was like a piece of meat that had been hammered. You got one of those claw hammers that got all those little things on the end of it, and you take that meat and you bang, 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 and you beat that thing down to almost a pulp, right? Because you want it nice and tender. Well, that's the way he looked. Hallelujah. He was unrecognizable as who he might have been and what he might have been in the beginning. Hello? Hallelujah. And they're down there, all of these high priests who have the word, and they're ridiculing him, and they're telling, oh, if you be the Christ, come down and we will serve you. Hallelujah. He could save others, but he can't save himself. Hello? Hallelujah. The last words that he spoke was, Father, forgive them. I don't know how the man did it. And yet he did it. Hallelujah. And how do I know he did it in the right way? Because when his blood was brought up to the heavenlies to be presented to the Father, he was judged a righteous man. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. And only on that basis could the man be resurrected from the dead. Now, that is not just talking about Jesus Christ, crucifixion, death, and resurrection. That's talking about your death, your burial, your resurrection. Hallelujah. Do you hear? It's not a historic event. Hallelujah. We have that. They have that brazen altar. Hallelujah. Which represents the position of salvation of being conformed. Hallelujah. Being conformed to the image of his death. Hallelujah. Now, remember what we were teaching about death? Death is darkness. Death is hell. Death is a nature. Hallelujah. It has a personality. And that death for me is called Bert Asbill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I am supposed to die with Christ. That means Bert Asbill of the family of Asbill has to die. That means Bert Asbill, who was born as an American, has to die. Hallelujah. That means Bert Asbill, that was born as an American and is a citizen of the USA, he has to die.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you bury a man, hallelujah, you don't dig him up again and set him at the dinner table, hallelujah, or stick, put him in the car and drive around town with him. Hello? If we do that, don't do that in the natural, why are we doing it in the spiritual sense? Huh? Why are we doing it? And you know something else? We have invented doctrine to justify our humanity. We have taken the principles of death to self and twisted them and turned them and made them something other than what they were meant to be. Hallelujah. If I belong to the First Church of Christ of America. First Church of Christ of America. Hallelujah. Well, I got maybe two words right. There was a first Christ. Hallelujah. But he was never American. Hallelujah. And I want to join that association. They have the same word that I have. Hello? They have the same theology. They believe in sonship, but yet they're holding on to the position of their national heritage. I'm holding on to that position of national heritage. How can that be right? Show it to me in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are still under the philosophy of denominational teaching when it comes to salvation. We believe that once saved, always saved. Hallelujah. If it were not true, we would not be doing what we do as far as secular humanity is concerned. Are you still there? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are thinking horizontally. You want to be a lawyer. You want to be a doctor. Hallelujah. You want to be something that has potential of advancement. You want to be something that has potential of prosperity. I would that your soul would prosper. Hallelujah. And you know, if your soul is prospering, the more you get, the more you give. Amen. And I'm not taking an offering, by the way. The more you get, the more you have an opportunity to give it unto the Father. I want to touch a little something here. The denominational teaching is one-tenth of your prosperity. Of course, some of us do that after taxes. Of course, maybe you don't have the tax system we have. You have to pay income tax, you know. Hallelujah. Do you have to pay it? Well, not you. I'm not asking you specifically. What, do you pay tithe off of the total, or do you pay tithe off of what's left after you pay the taxes? Some people pay what was left over as far as the taxes are concerned. But that is not what you made. And the 10% law, the 10% rule, is for 10% Christians, by the way. Oh, you didn't like that one, did you? Most of the church is 10% Christian. The other 90% is mammon. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I've been around a long time. I've been involved with church for over 50-some years. And it's not the organized church. It's the Holy Place Church. I cut my teeth. I grew up in the outer court. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are no better off. Now, there's a few. I'm not putting everybody in the same bucket, but there's a few. But we don't know who the few is because they keep themselves hidden. Hallelujah. He says, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Hallelujah. You go around bragging about what you give it, you might as well forget it. Hallelujah. Or if you use what you give as an excuse to be human, you might as well forget it. Hallelujah. And if you're doing it to get in the natural, and you do get it in the natural, just think, that's your reward. You're not going to get anything else. You're not going to get anything else, because we're not talking about a position of secular living. We're not talking about a position or a place of natural circumstances. We're talking about a position of spiritual authority, a spiritual realm in which we are to abide, a spiritual position of development and growth. Hallelujah. That has nothing to do with this secular world. Because outside of this world and into the realm of eternity, there is yet more that is going to be happening. God was so good to give us a clue, but how many of you look into the clue? How many of you get into the scripture? My God, it has not entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for him. Prepared for him when? Here or here? Out here in eternity. Hallelujah. Our timelessness. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Why do you think man wants to go to the moon? Why do you think man wants to go to Mars? Why do you think man wants to go to Saturn? And why do you think man wants to break through the universal barrier into the unknown? Why? Huh? Because it's pre-programmed in him by virtue of his spiritual birth. When Adam became a living soul, he put everything under his jurisdiction. That was not just the natural earth in which he was living in. It was also incorporating all those things that he was doing as far as the universes were concerned. Now, what kind of degree do I have to hold in order to be in that position of authority? Huh? How much education do I have to have? Hallelujah. How many years do I have to spend getting it? How many dollars do I have to spend in assuring and securing that position? Is it going to help me at the end of the day? No, it's just more for me to give up. Hallelujah. When you talk about death to self, you're talking about the total annihilation of your desires as a human being, the total annihilation of your position of will, the total annihilation of your position of the place of your emotions and your desires. Hallelujah. And in their place, they are going to be metamorphosized into a position of knowing what is in the mind of the Father. And you're going to be able to see beyond that natural secular realm. But you can't see it, you can't approach it, you can't break through unless you first die. Die. Hallelujah. And you know, the Lord made very sure, hallelujah, he made very sure that it was completely and totally dead before he would allow you or I to break our move through that veil. Hallelujah. When it says that the veil was rent, it said, and his flesh was rent. It was an indication of the total dissemination, the total annihilation of his human secular position of living. He was now graduated. He graduated from this realm of humanism. What would we call it when he melded and merged his humanity with God? Huh? We are being called to meld and merge our humanity, and it has to be transformed. It has to be perfect. It has to have no spot, no blemish. None of the external aspect of our previous life can be in evidence. And that sanctified, purified soul has to be offered right here on this offering, on this altar. It has to be offered. Do you hear me? That sanctified, purified soul has to be offered. So that does not even interfere with your desire to be a part of the Father. Loose! Paul said, neither death nor life, You ever think why he said that? Have you ever thought why would Paul include that phrase? I can understand death. I can understand secular living. But why would he say neither death nor life shall separate me from what? Hallelujah. And it's not because the love of God was all encompassing. He was not going to let anything around him, working in and moving in. He was not going to allow the position of it to bring a separation between him and the Father's will. That's what this offering is all about, by the way, brethren. It's the last offering. It's the last altar. And we have to come even as he came. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to come even as he came and offer that soul unto God as God to do with it as it pleased. It must be perfect. And the incense that comes from that fire. Hallelujah. Has to be of a sweet smelling savor. Amen. That means no contamination. My mind is totally given over to him. My will is totally given over to him. My desire. And I am not even letting the pride of being in that position or that place interfere with my offering. Amen. Paul said, I am ready. Didn't he say that? What did he say? I am what? Ready to be offered. I don't know if we really conceive or understand what Paul was saying. Paul said, I'm a man born out of due season. Paul had this revelation. And he knew. He knew he was capable of achieving it. But he wasn't going to let it interfere with the path that God had chose for him. He had to offer his sanctified, purified, spotless soul. He had to put his head on the block. Hallelujah. He says, I have run my race. I have finished my course. Come on. If I said that, you all look at me like I was out from Mars or something. Hallelujah. I have laid up for me a crown in heaven that no man can take away from me. Not even me can take that away because I'm willing to offer my soul. I'm willing to offer my soul. Hallelujah. This is after he said, all in Asia have forsaken me. Can you imagine that? The time, the energy, life substance, resources, and all of the things that he spent laboring over these children. Hallelujah. Amen. And it says all. It's his whole life career. Spiritual career. Hallelujah. But in all of it, he was not daunted. He was not disappointed. He was not frustrated because he had eternity stamped on the back of his eyeballs. He was looking, he had been lifted up. And he was seeing the reality of this realm we are now being presented with. But we not like Paul, we might be able to break through that veil without going to the grave in one sense or another. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But I frankly do not believe that we will be able to enter here without facing death. I don't believe it. I think we all have to come to the point where we're willing to die for the sake of the message and be a testimony and be a witness as to the plans and purposes that God has put before us. Much blood pays this path to perfection. It's not a pavement of asphalt or rock or dirt. It's paved with blood. Blood. Blood of saints living in caves. Destitute. No food, no clothes. Their families being destroyed. It's paved with blood. How much blood am I willing to shed in order to get what it is they got? They had a good report. They had this word, by the way. They had this word. The promise. They received not the promise. What was the promise? The promise was to be rulers and reign. To rule and reign with Christ in His kingdom. Kings and priests. Hallelujah. A part of the sonship company, a part of the Godhead. Hello? Hallelujah. They had the promise, and they were willing to endure for the sake of that promise. Hallelujah. How much are you or I willing to endure? And what are we willing to do in order to achieve it? How much of us are we willing to die? It's paved with blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope when we leave this conference or this time frame together, my hope is that some of you, young or old, some of you will catch the vision and be energized and to press to set the benchmark. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To set the benchmark for those that you are in fellowship with. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody somewhere has to break through the realm and be not afraid of dying. Oh, na na ba kushata la la na mandaya. Whether it's physical or otherwise. Hallelujah. God bless you.